Yes, Gemara, and Adam Samach Beit Menav. I think it's important, Gemara. The other Gemara with the Ashmedai is to, it is something which you know, the Mufresh Mimcha al Tidrash. It's obviously, it's a very deep chazal. I mean, you have to be in a very high level to understand it. But this is something which I think is more on our level. Samach Beit Menav. Okay? Reb Karfin Ashkecheo Gavra. Alright, somebody want to say? Reb Karfin Ashkecheo Gavra. You see where it is? Samach Beit Menav.
Okay.
Go ahead. That he did something which is most people would consider innocuous. I mean, what did he do? He just notified the fellow that he's a gadol b'Torah. And because of that, the guy thought he was a thief, and because he notified him that he's a gadol b'Torah, so the guy realized he's not a thief and he let him go. I mean, what is the what's the problem there? I mean, it's what is the issue? So, yeah. It says, Oili shenishtamashti bekisra shel Torah. So apparently, Reb Tarfon considered this to be a terrible, terrible chait. Because it says all his life, he was lamenting over the fact that he was nishtamash bekisra shel Torah. Yeah, so what does kisra shel Torah mean? I mean, what's the definition of kisra shel Torah? It means the cover for the cover that a Talmud Chacham has. So a Talmud Chacham in society has a certain, among certain people, has a certain aura. So a certain respect. So apparently what Reb Tarfon was saying was, I mean, it's not Reb Tarfon, it's a Gemara, it means everybody holds it away. That respect is something which the individual who has that respect has to view as something which is not his, which doesn't belong to him. It is completely belongs to the Torah, and therefore he has no right to utilize it. If he utilizes it for his own benefit, so then it's a even in this case where he utilized it to save his life. So it wasn't that he was utilizing it to make a gain. He was utilizing it just to save his life. So which would seem to be, I mean, something which is it wasn't that he intended to make use of it. It was an incident that occurred, and now, in this moment, he has this situation where he's utilizing it just to escape, to get away. It's not even a positive use. It's really a negative. In other words, just to avoid a harm. just using it to avoid harm. So that, too, is considered a horrible thing. Why? Why is it considered a horrible thing? Because not simply, in other words, Aloch apparently isn't simply that the aura that a Talmud Chacham gains in society cannot be used for his own vanity. I mean, that's, forget it. I mean, that's a Dava Pasha. That's a Dava Pasha. But even to make use of it to avoid a negative, which means he's not really, it's not that he places, you see, if it's used for a positive, in other words, he has the aura of a Talmud Chacham, and he makes use of that aura for his own ego. So that's, over there, I mean, he what he's saying is that it's not the aura doesn't belong to Torah, it belongs to me, personally. It belongs to me personally. So that, of course, is an intrinsic fate. But over here, he just mentioned it in order to escape, in order to avoid a harm. And even that is considered a terrible fate. So much so that Rav Tarfon spent his whole life lamenting over the fact that he did such a terrible thing. An amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. Yes, yeah, so what does it show you? So it shows you the definition is that the Isser is to make use of it. That's the definition of the Isser. It's not that the Isser, the Keser Shel Torah, the Kavod HaTorah, the crown, the aura, that a Talmud Chacham enjoys among certain people in the society because he is a Talmud Chacham, that he can't consider it to be his own, to use it for his own vanity. I mean, that goes without saying. That's intrinsic faith. But even to use it to avoid a harm and a misconception, just to escape from a situation, I mean, that also is also. Why? Because he cannot make use of it. That's the halacha. The halacha is the cheftza of the Keser Shel Torah is an entity which he absolutely cannot make use of. It's an entity of Hegdish. It's something which belongs to Torah. So therefore, even to make use of it would be like a moral behegdish. And if he does make use of it, so then what does it show? It shows you that he doesn't have a proper recognition of what it is. Okay, you understand the thing? That's why it says, Oili shenishtamashti b'kvi keser shel Torah. It means it lacks in the recognition of the Shem Hegdish of this Keser Shel Torah, that it does not belong to him. Does not belong to the Talmud Chacham. It's an interesting thing. Does not belong to Talmud Chacham. See, Vesor Rasa Yega Yom Valayla, Torah Delayed, Gemara says. Torah is his. He could be, he has the right to be Michael on his own covet in certain times. But the Keser Shel Torah does not belong to him. Kesh Shel Torah is purely belongs to Torah and has a din of Hegdish, and therefore if he uses it he's like a mild Hegdish. That's what the Gemara is saying basically. It's an amazing statement. It means that Kesher Shel Torah is something in abstract like an entity, and if he makes use of it, it would be just like being mild Hegdish. We'll see. I mean, this idea comes up over here. You see, the Gemara really goes on, but this concept emerges a little later, too. But if you define it over here properly, that's what you have to say. Because it doesn't simply mean that you cannot engage in Torah in order to make use, to have psychological satisfaction out of the aura. I mean, that goes without saying. That's a person that has no concept at all of what Kavod HaTorah is, Keser Shel Torah is. But it means even to make use of it in a way where he's not, he recognizes that it's a, that the Keser Shel Torah is not for him. He recognizes that. But here he just makes use of it in an untoward situation that occurred once in a lifetime, just to escape. I mean, so he doesn't really gain insofar as the Gavra is concerned. In other words, it's not simply an Isser Hanos HaGavra from Keser Shel Torah. That's basically what the Gemara is saying. It's not simply an Isser Hanos HaGavra from Keser Shel Torah. So it's not an awe. What's an awe? He just saved his life. It's a negative thing. It was to remove a pain. It wasn't to be Nena. So So that's what the Gemara is saying. It's not simply an Isser Vanos Agavra, it's a halacha that the Chefza of the Keser Shel Torah has to always belong to Torah, like it belongs to Shemayim, like it's Hegdish, and therefore he can't approach it. He cannot make use of it in any way. It's a Dovar HaNesar. It's also to make use of it. You see, and if he doesn't understand it in that way, so then he doesn't have a concept of what Kedushas HaTorah is. That's basically what Reb Tarfon said. It's an amazing thing. It's not just a matter of perfection in terms of the Gavra, that it can't be a Nene, but he has to have the recognition that the Chefza Shel Torah is a Chefza of a Keser Shel Torah, and he can't approach it. He's not allowed to make use of it. That's what the Gemara is saying, basically. Okay.
Rebbe?
Yes. That the Gemara says different. The Gemara says that he has a right to do. That it was Sarasa Yega Yom Valaylo Torah delay. The Torah gave him the right to be Machel.
Oh,
that's separate. In other words, the covet for a Talmud Chacham, insofar as the person that gives him covet is concerned, is for the Gavra of the Talmud Chacham. In other words, insofar as the way the covet works, the Gavra of the Talmud Chacham determines what the covet is. The Amoritz has to have covet for Talmud Chacham because of the Gavra of the Talmud Chacham. He was given over to him, whatever he determines. But he cannot, in other words, he's the determinant of the covet. But the covet that he receives, I mean, the Keser Shel Torah, that is not, that's not his. It belongs with Shemayim. But it's via him, it's via the Gavra. Okay, it's not simply an abstract.
Really? Even
yes.
If it's Misa?
What's that?
Even if the result is Misa?
Can't hear you.
Just
a second. Well, let me take it just a second. 1 second. Try again.
Even if the result is Misa?
We'll soon see. The Gemara takes up that question. But then that's a separate question if there's a matir of Misa. But the obviously there's a heter to save your life. But that's not the point over here. The point is, of course he had a heter to save his life. Gemara asks that question later. But that's a different... over here you'll see he didn't have a heter to save his life because he could have used a different means. But that has nothing to do with the idea. The idea of being mishtamish b'kisser shel Torah over here is a different concept. Whether you have a heter or not is a separate question. But you see, the nature of being mishtamish b'kisser shel Torah is not simply to look forward to the aura of a Talmud Chacham for your own personal gratification. I mean, that's a dova bar. I mean, that's a low level. But but even if the person does not wish to do that, he doesn't look at Torah as a source, as the aura of Torah as a source of personal gratification. He doesn't look at it that way. But just to save his life, and that means that he doesn't recognize the chefza of the Keser Shel Torah as a davar she'osah b'ano. It's a lack in the recognition of the chefza that he's not allowed to be mishtamish with it. That's why the Gemara is lost mishtamish. Oyli she'mishtamishi. Shinishtamashti bekisser shel Torah. That's what Tarfon says. It's an amazing chazal. It means there must be a concept of a chefza of a kesser shel Torah that belongs to Torah and you can't use, even though the Talmud Chacham is the one that produced it. But it's not his. It does not belong to them. Yep. That's what Gemara says. Go ahead. Okay, so let's go further. Yeah, so why was he... it's an interesting thing. So why did he lament? So he did tshuva already. So what's so bad? So he did tshuva, made a mistake. So why did he go around saying, Kol yom of his estranged gemar, Kol yom shes et tzadak vayim et stair al dover zeh, Oma oili she nishtamashti bekisra shel Torah. I mean, so why couldn't he say, okay, he did tshuva already. He recognized he made a mistake. He was in a bad situation. So why did he have to, all his life, lament about it?
Because Hashem, there's no...
Excuse me?
Chilul Hashem is no tshuva for until Misa.
Chilul Hashem?
Right.
Why is this a Chilul Hashem?
Well, because he used it for the wrong purpose.
You mean any of her is a Chilul Hashem?
Well, no, but this particular is more... like Rambam on that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos mentions Chilul Hashem right there when people use the Torah for their own purpose.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So let's say I mean, I have to think about Chilul Hashem, not Chilul Hashem. But even Chilul Hashem, so does that mean that the person has to all his life be lamenting? Or he does tshuva, and the halacha is that he's not in the scupper ad yom misa. But does it mean that all his life he has to be lament over it? I mean, why should he have to do that? I mean, the derech of Torah is not really in line with that type of a thinking ordinarily. You do tshuva and you go further.
Okay.
You don't, over here you see it's not so pasha. I mean, it was all his life he was upset about it. I mean, it's a question. It's a question. Eilish nishtamashti b'kisra shel Torah. Brother, I'm not into that right now. Good.
Ready?
Yeah.
Is always involved in the meaning, so it's always right in his face, so to speak, what he did, that he was really supposed to be.
What's your mind's out there, isn't it?
He said it's always involved in Lehman all the time.
I mean, on the contrary, your mind is away from these things. Right. First involved in Lehman, you forget about it. You forget about everything. I'll tell you what I think it means. I think that there are certain averis that a person does that a person recognizes why he fell through, why he did it, and therefore he's chozer b'tshuva, and he goes on. But there's another kind of avera that a person does that indicates that he really does not have a clear assessment of his own personality. And that type of an avera, if a person gets involved in an avera like that, so he recognizes that even though he could do tshuva, insofar as the part that's known to him consciously, but the nature of the avera is such that it shows a deeply rooted defect. And the defect is deeply rooted, and he recognizes that he may not be able to trace it, to really trace it down and uproot it. So that really shows a defect in his character. And that kind of a thing is something which would plague a person all their lives. You see, you have some cases like that in the Gemara. There are a few cases like that. You have a case in Kiddushin where the Gemara mentions that there was a certain tzaddik that his wife wanted to catch his attention. He used to learn every day in the backyard. And she dressed up like a zona very attractively, and he thought that he was attracted to her and recognized her, and he wanted to live with her. And then later, exactly, I think months later, she told him that he wanted to, he got very upset, and he sat down, and he did, and then he got very upset, and he sat down in the kitchen reish. And then later, the wife told him, no, it was me, and I'm mutter to you. So he said, yep, but I know me ala isakar chavna. He says, kol yomov sh'os a tzaddik, chayim et stayer at shemes bos amisa, the Gemara says. That eventually he died from the aggravation. So you see, That's also a similar kind of a thing. It means he never thought that he could do such a thing. And once he did it, and he thought about it later, he recognized that there's an intrinsic defect in his character that he did not recognize before. He didn't see it before. Didn't know it. So tshuva is very nice, you know. If a person looks at tshuva, yeah, I mean, it's like a scorecard, in the sky. I mean, I did tshuva, so I'm putt, and I go further. But really, if you look at chait like a distortion of the personality, it's not always easy to feel that a person has traced the chait down. Certain things the person has a sense that he can't really get to. I mean, I think that's what the pasuk means by David. Chatasi lefanai, cheti lefanai tamid. He always had before his mind's eye, always had the chait of Bathsheba. Because it was something that he didn't recognize at the time. And nothing, he had to give him the mushel. Then he recognized it. A chait like that is a unique kind of phenomenon. It's not simply an aver where the person is overpowered by the Yetzer Hara. I mean, it's always chait. The person is overpowered by the Yetzer Hara. His nature overpowers him. But he could understand it, he does tshuva, and he goes on. But sometimes the chait is so great that the individual recognizes he would never think that he'd be able to do such a thing, and he did it. It's a revelation on his whole personality. His whole knowledge and his whole understanding of his personality has been shaken. Now that's the case. So now he really can't. He recognizes that he can't do a full tshuva. Because he didn't know what that defect is. And now also, as long as he hasn't gained full insight into his nature, so then that defect is always hidden. So it shows that his soul is on a low level. That's oily shenishtamashti bekisra shel Torah. Because how could I have done such a thing? In other words, kisra shel Torah, what could be more kuddish than kisra shel Torah? And I, in a moment, I didn't hesitate, and I used the Keshel Torah. I said, Oilo le Tarfain. So that shows a serious defect. It's not just an avera that I could do tshuva on. I know exactly what I did. Yeah, Tanasi Tahara got a hold of me, and now I realize it was a mistake, and now I'm chos b'tshuva with all the conditions of the Ram has an ilchus tshuva with on Hashem, and everything fine. That's good. If you could do that, it's wonderful. But sometimes you can't do that. Sometimes that's what I think Chazal is saying over here. And the same thing in one condition. Very difficult Gemara. Achemes Bosa Misa. It says that he died eventually from all the aggravation of that incident with his wife, even though she was Materislo. But he says, no, me Elisa Karachavna. He says, you can't get me off the hook that easy because I didn't know. So what's the difference if it wasn't a Misa Vera, but Hirura Vera Kashima Vera? So in terms of the state of perfection of the soul, it doesn't make any difference. He thought it was his own, and he went and he lived with his own. So she couldn't help him. I mean, she was on a basic level. He didn't do Maisa Vera. There's nothing to worry about. But he understood it a little deeper. Maisa Vera is that's just a small thing. I mean, Maisa Vera, that's a gross form of the defect of the soul. But when you look at the perfection of the soul, does it make any difference if the individual thought it was his own or was really his own? It doesn't make any difference. So he says, and therefore, how could I do such a thing? I never thought I could do such a thing. So this is a revelation that I have no knowledge of my personality. And the worst thing I'm capable of doing. And that's what Tafin said. Is the highest thing in existence in the universe. And I didn't hesitate, and I used it. I never thought I could do such a thing. That shows you there's something about myself that I'm not aware of at all. I mean, I don't know this. That's something you can't do tshuva on. I mean, you can do tshuva on a maisa, but that takes more than tshuva. That means, only means he recognizes a serious defect here that he can't trace down. And all his life it bothered him. All his life it bothered him. That's what Chazal is saying. And it's an amazing Chazal. Yeah.
Isn't this in the category of
Anistaros? No, that's not Anistaros. That's not the story. That's not going to start. That's not the story. And the source means that's a different thing. It doesn't mean that part of the personality that an individual's personality, the soul of a person, is something which has a measure. I mean, a Kodesh Baruch Hu knows the level of the person. If a person sees his soul is on a low level, then it shows you that he's in a sad state. He's in a sad state. It has nothing to do with the Maisa Tshuva. It's something else. I mean, it's a different thing. I mean, that's something we can have to take up another time. But it's a different idea altogether. But over here, that's what Chazal is saying. Basically, that a person can have a realization that he's on a low level. His soul is on a very low level. I mean, how would a person feel? If a person's health is in trouble, he's very concerned. If his soul's on a low level, how does he feel? I mean, his natural, what does he want to say? Talmud Chacham loves himself, and Amaretz doesn't. Amaretz doesn't care about his soul. But Talmud Chacham does. So it's a natural thing. I mean, he sees that he has a serious defect in his perfection. It has to disturb him. What could disturb him more? I mean, he has a serious defect in his personality, in his character. And he can't trace it down. Because it was something that occurred at a time he never thought he could do it, and he did it. Is the worst thing, and I didn't think I could do it. And in a moment, I did it without even thinking. That's what Rav Tarfon said. That's what the Gemara said. Not so simple. Tshuva, you know, everybody looks for a simple thing. The system of Yadis is not so posh. Not so posh. Sometimes a person gets caught in an avera, and he can't get out of it. All his life, he faces that. That's what the Rav said. Chatasi lefanai tamet. Every day he sees this hate. Every day. Cannot get over it. So so sometimes a person gets caught in a hate, which tshuva is, of course it's chayiv and tshuva, but there's something beyond the chayiv tshuva. Beyond the chayiv tshuva. He recognizes that his soul is in a sorrowful state. That's oily. That his soul is in a sorrowful state. Can't do anything about it. Something can't do anything about it. It's just something that troubled him for the rest of his life. That's what the Gemara says. Amazing Gemara. Kol yom of shalosu tzadik hayim et stair al davazah. That's what it says. You always bother him. So you see that but the Gemara, of course, says osu tzadik. I mean, you have to, because Chazal are pointing out at the same time that you have to be in a very high level to have that bother, to be, let that bother a person all his life. I mean, that's a very high level. That level he had, the level of being mitzdayer al hadavar, that he had. If the person doesn't have that level, then he's simply out of the ballpark. But that's what Gemara is saying. Kol yom of shalosu tzadik hayim mitzdayer al hadavar. He didn't have the level of, he wasn't able to uncover what the imperfection was. But he had the perfection of that it bothered him. That perfection he had, and then that's why he had a right to be called a tzaddik. That's why he was really a tzaddik. He was truly a tzaddik. Same lashon, I think, Gemara condition. Kol yom of shalos tzaddik ayim etzav al davazah chemeis bo savera. I think Gemara is exactly the same lashon, Gemara condition. So if I'm not mistaken. But it's the same thing. It means to say that even though in those cases where you can't get down to the chait, and the defect is a defect in the serious defect in the soul. So I mean, the individual then at that point has two paths he could take. He's at a parashas drachim. Either he could say, "Forget about it. I can't. That's it. I can't do anything about it. Forget about it." Then he's not a tzaddik. If he's a mitztayer bedava, then he's a tzaddik. He's a mitztayer bedava. Tzaddik will be mitztayer bedava. That's the, even though he can't uncover it, but he has to be a mitzvah badova. That's a perfection. That's what Chazal is saying. That's the perfection of being mitzvah badova is a high level. Is a high level. He's a tzaddik. Interesting Chazal. Shows you how much Chazal just in a little mimer, I mean, how much they uncover, how much they express. Yes, any questions? Rabba Bar Bar Chana.
Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kol mishtamish b'kisra shel Torah ne'akar min ha'olam. Kol v'chomer. Ma Belshazzar Shinishdamesh Bikli Kodesh Shinatsu Kli Pol Shinemar Uvo Bab Prithim Nikhiluha Kevan Shiv Brutza
Partum
Partum Nasu Ho Nekar Mina Ola Dechtiv Baba Lila Kiel Belshazzar Mishdamesh Bikisra Shaltara Shehu Chai.
No, but Baba Lilya Katul Belshazzar. So if I'm mishtamish bekisra shel Torah, right? You chay v'kayim lola malam and malachas kam v'chama, right? So yep, malachas kam v'chama. Okay. So the Gemara says, now the Gemara says another proposition. That kol mishtamish bekisra shel Torah, anyone that makes use of that aura that he gains in society from Torah, he makes use of it, so then he's nekar min olam. And nekar min olam means his existence is equal to his non-existence. It's as if he doesn't exist. Why? Uma belshata shenishtamish b'klei kodesh, shenasu chol, shenem abopo pritzin l'chilalua, so that's halacha, that once they come into the Mikdash, and they take over the Mikdash, so there's a chilul of the Kedusha, of the Chefta, of the Kelim, kivon sheportzim nasu chol, and in spite of that fact that it's chol, is nekam and olam, the chsiv, why? Because it says, bobelulya katul bashata. Why does the Pasuk say bobelulya? So bobelulya means because of that. Otherwise, in that very same night, he was killed. So it wants to tell you that that same night means it's tied into the Avera, that it was Mishtamish with the Klei Amigdash. So Mishtamish Bekis Shal Torah Shehu Chai V'Kayim Lolam Avoyed Alachas Kam V'Chama. Okay, so what's the Kal V'Chama? I mean, it's very nice, but what's the Kal V'Chama? I mean, that's a halacha, Boba Pitzin Chalua's halacha, that the Kalim of the Migdash, that if the priests come in, so the kelim and the mikdash are yetzim l'chulam, and they're mutabanah. Okay, they're mutabanah. What's the guy? I mean, what does the guy? Why does the Gemara relate that to this? What does that have to do with this? It's a separate halacha. It's a separate halacha. I mean, Belshazzar was a Rasha and he's chayiv misa. And on the contrary, so what was the zaver over there? So the zaver over there was that he was astonishing Klei Mikdash. He would have Klei Mikdash Yotz L'Chol anyway. So you'll say the zaver was, yeah, but he made it be Yotz L'Chol. I mean, he was happy with Yotz L'Chol. It was.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
Finding what you said originally, even though
it was. So Shatar went and he was mishtamish with the kelim, but it was nasachol from before. So I mean, so what does it have to do with this? I mean, I like to understand, what is the Kal V'Chama? Well, Kal V'Chama has to make sense. What's the Kal V'Chama? I said, well, Yotz L'Chol, so it shouldn't be Chayav Misa. So what do I care? Well, you shouldn't be Chayav Misa. Like this. The Gemara means that he was chayiv misa not because of Mael Behagdish, because it was really bo pritzim v'chilalua. So really, the kelim were mufka mikdushasan. So the question is, so why was he chayiv misa? Because even though the kelim were mufka mikdushasan, but still he was pogeya in the kovar hamikdash. Just because halachically the kelim are mufka mikdushasan does not prevent you from being pogeya in the kavod hamikdash. I mean, the kavod hamikdash could be even the kelim that was nifka mikdushasan. Depends how the person does it. So Belshazzar took out the kelim of the beis hamikdash in order to degrade the mikdash. Doesn't matter halachically, technically it was yotz mikdushasan. Doesn't matter. But still it was a bezoyin of the Migdash. Via what? Via the medium of the Kalim. So that's what the Gemara is saying is the Kal V'Chama. That if the bezoyin of Migdash, really bezoyin, Kalim of the, bezoyin of Migdash al Yedei Kalim is one step removed. It's not really bezoyin of Migdash itself. Correct? It's Bezoyin HaMikdash Ayidei HaKelim. And ultimately, what does all this lead to? It all leads to being Pogea and Kvot Shemayim. I mean, that's Kelim and Mikdash and Kvot Shemayim is ultimately what the chait is. What is the chait of Balshatza with the Kelim and the Mikdash? Who cares about the Kelim and the Mikdash? Just the Lachul anyway. What's the difference? But the answer is the way he did it, the way he was Mizgor, and the way he used the Kelim of the Mikdash was to show that there's no Lekei Yisrael. So he was Pegea in the Kavod Shemayim via the Kelim of the Mikdash. That's the Gemara's Kal Vachomer. The Gemara's Kal Vachomer is that Madach, in other words, if a person can be, is Pogea on the Kvod Shemayim through a Maisa to a Hefta, which is a Kli, which is Yotze Lechulin, and that through that vehicle is Chayev Misa is Nekam and Olam, so Kal Vachomer is the vehicle of Torah itself, which is closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the Kelim of the Mikdash. The Kelim of the Mikdash is a physical thing. It has Kedusha, but the Kedusha is Yatzal Cholin. So you see, the Kelim of the Mikdash are more removed from the Elokei Yisrael than Torah is. So if Belshatza is Chayiv Misa through being Pogea in the Kvod Shemayim, through what? Through a vehicle of the Klei HaMikdash, the Kal Vachomer through Kvod Kavod HaTorah, which is Omeid La'olam Void, which is closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the Klei HaMikdash, than the Mikdash even. Torah is before the Mikdash. So that's what he's saying. That's the Kal Vachomer.
I understand. Wasn't he trying to be?
The Gemara is not talking about that. The Gemara is saying that if the person, in other words, whenever a person is Mevaza Kvod Shemayim, I mean, of course, Belshatza was a Rasha, but the that doesn't mean to say that a person is the Gemara doesn't mean to say that every person, the Rav Tarfon, is worse than Belshatza. I mean, it's crazy. But what it means, you see, that's not the point. The point is, when the Navi sets up something, there are elements in there. Of course, you know what I mean? Of course it depends on the evil doer himself. But the evil doer has to relate to the chait through a vehicle. So what the Gemara is saying is that if the vehicle of Kalim, the lack of Kalim, which is Yotzal Achulin, that a person can be Pogea in the Kvot Shemayim through such an instrument, through such a vehicle, Kal Vachomer through the vehicle of Kavod HaTorah. In other words, what the Gemara is not comparing Belshatza to Rav Tarfon. All the Gemara is saying is that this instrument, as an instrument, it is worse. Of course, it depends how the person does it. But all the Gemara is saying is that as an instrument of being Pogea in the Kvod Shemayim, it is a... In other words, like this. When a person... Every chait is dependent on two things. Depends on the intention and the way the person does it, and depends on the object that's involved. So all the Gemara is saying is, as a cheftz, as an object, the keser shel Torah is closer to Kvod Shemayim than the Klei HaMikdash. So a person would not think of of utilizing the Klei HaMikdash, even the Yotzal Chulam, but utilizing them for their own purpose. Because he'd be concerned about the covet of the Kvod Shemayim involved. But over here, something which is far, far greater, the person doesn't hesitate. What Chazal are pointing out is in terms of the instrument, the vehicle. See, a chait is measured by the vehicle and also the way the chait is done. So it's like it's like two variables in an equation. So the you have the variable of the entity, the instrument, the vehicle, and then you have the variable of the kavana. And these two variables determine what the chet is. So if you have a higher entity, so even if there's less kavana, the chet could be greater. Depends on the quantitative, the relative quantitative factors. So therefore, all the Chazal are pointing out over here is that as a vehicle, this is far greater. As a vehicle is far greater than the Klei HaMikdash. And you see the Klei HaMikdash were utilized by Belshazzar, and they were Mechayev and Misah. So this is a far greater instrument. This is a far greater instrument. And therefore a person can be Nekam and Olam quicker over here than over there.
Rabbi?
Yeah, in qualitative terms, not in quantitative terms. Quantitative terms, of Kodesh Baruch Hu is not. But I mean, the Gemara's method to isolate the entities. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
to isolate and compare the entities. So the Gemara is showing you that as an entity, there is no comparison. There's no comparison between the Klei HaMikdash and between Kesetara. Whereas people do not consider just the opposite.
Well,
Klei HaMikdash, they don't understand. Okay. But Kesetara is something which they feel familiar with and comfortable with. So they don't recognize it. So Chazal is simply saying that just the contrary, that the Klei HaMikdash are nothing. They pale in comparison as an entity, in comparison to Kisra Shel Torah. So a person can be Nekam and Olam quicker, much, much quicker, and with much less evil doing than the Klei HaMikdash. Because this variable of the Kisra Shel Torah is Omei Lolam 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 Elan, so that's far greater, far closer to Kvod Shemayim than the Klei HaMikdash. And you see, you could be Nekam and Olam from Klei HaMikdash. So Kal v'chomer over here. The Gemara, of course, you understand the thing. That's how you have to understand the Chazal. That's what Chazal do. Chazal compare the entities. How a person is Nenash. I mean, that's already Biyad Hashem. I mean, depends on the only Hakadosh Baruch Hu is Bochen Klei for life. But in terms of the entity, I mean, you have to look at the variable. This variable is far, far greater. No comparison to the Klei HaMikdash. That's what Chazal was saying. Yes. Okay.
Rabbi.
Yep. About child is pikuach nefesh. So that's a separate area. It's nothing to do with that. The Gemara is just showing you what the nature of the Kisra Shel Torah is. That the Kisra Shel Torah must be viewed as something which is like kodshei kadoshim, and you can't be mishtamesh with it. And if a person is mishtamesh with it, so he's nekam and olam. He's nekam and means it. What Chazal mean by nekam and olam means that it means that the soul of such an individual has no concept of what Torah really is and what the Kesher Shel Torah is. And a person that has no concept of what the Kesher Shel Torah is, even though he could be a big Talmid Chacham, he could be Nekam and Olam, because it means his whole value system is distorted. I mean, that's what Chazal is saying, basically. They're not talking about a person that's a total ignoramus. They're talking about a person like Reb Tarfon. I mean, a person that could be a... He'd be not a Reb Tarfon's level, but a person could be a Talmud Chacham and a Lamdan. And if he doesn't recognize, he has no recognition of what the entity of Kisra Shel Torah is, that aura which is bestowed upon him by society because of Torah, he doesn't recognize what that is, and he's Mishtamesh, who doesn't recognize that it's a Chafsa Shel Kedusha, so then he's Nekam and Olam. Means his soul has no place in the world to come. He's a distortion of the whole system, the whole value system of the Torah. That's basically what Chazal said.
Isn't that like taxes?
Excuse me?
Taxes.
Excuse me? Relationship to that Kesher Shel Torah which is bestowed upon him. How does he relate to it, and how does he think of it? Does he think of it as something for his personal satisfaction, or it's like an alien object, an object that belongs to Torah, and he has no right to mishtamish. It's like kachik adashim. That's what the Gemara is saying at this point. If he's mishtamish with it, he's nekam and olam. Okay. Now, what is the Gemara say, Rav Tarfon?
Rabbi Tarfon, Ahugabra. Mishunta Hahu Habu Ganve Le Anve Kula Shasa. The Kavan de Ishkafe Lurabi Tarfon Sarva Hainu de Ganva,
yeah. So he was plagued by robbers and he was looking out for the robbers. And then what happened? And then when they found up tough and he figured, oh, I found the Ganav.
Yihachi Amai Tiar Nafshe Mishum de Rebbe Tarfon.
Why did it bother him? I mean, so he had a right to save his life. I mean, they thought he was a Ganav. He was simply saying that he's not a Ganav. Don't kill me because he's not a Ganav. The guy wanted to harm the robber. So what's he supposed to do? So the Gemara says that what?
Mishum de Rebbe Tarfon Asher Gadol.
Yep. Because the Tarfon was a very wealthy man, and since he had the money, so it's an amazing thing. So he should have used the money. He should have paid him off. He said to him, look, how much did you lose? You lost $1,000. I'll give you $25,000. Should have tried to pay him off. Interesting thing. Usher Gudelhava. Vahavalela Faisa Bedamin.
How was he supposed to do it? Let me out of the sack, let me get my money?
What's that?
How was he supposed to do this? Let me out of the sack?
He didn't know for sure that he was... The guy did not know for sure that he was the robber. So he could have said to him, let me out and I'll give you X amount of dollars, whatever. I don't know exactly how he could have negotiated this thing, but the details you can't figure out. But apparently he would have been able to do it. He would have been able to pay him off. He'd pay him a huge sum of money, he'd let him go. What can we say over here? It'd have been fine. It's like this. What the Gemara thing is like this. Reb Tarfon, certainly, I mean, it goes without saying, as we said before, that Reb Tarfon never looked at the Keser Shel Torah, at the aura of the Talmud Chacham that he had around him, as something which is for his own satisfaction. I mean, that was a very base level. That he certainly never did. But, and also, he never would even use the Keser Shel Torah. He looked at it like an entity of Kedusha that he has no right to ever use, even momentarily, to save himself. Not as a positive enhancement of his life, but even momentarily just to get out of a situation. Even that, he recognized it's a Chefza, and it's Kedusha, and it's just like Migdash, and you can't be mishtamish with it. That he had clearly in his mind. But what was the mistake? The mistake was that he thought he had a matir to use it. There's a matir. What's the matir? The matir is pikuach nefesh. So sometimes the chait of a person is he doesn't have the proper assessment of the entity. Over here he had the proper assessment of the entity. The only thing is that this entity enables you to make use of it with a matir. So that he knew. You need a matir to make use of it. The only mistake he made was in the matir. That he thought he had a matir, and in fact he didn't have a matir. That was the mistake. He thought he had a matir because his life was in danger. So he has a matir to be mishtamish with Keser Shel Torah. But the truth of the matter is that he didn't have a matir. Why? Because that's what bothered him later was that he could have used money to get out of it. So what was the two different ways of viewing it? The way he viewed it at the time of the incident, and later in life when he thought it over, there are two different ways of viewing it. I mean, at the time of the incident he held, I mean, they're talking about a tarfini, not talking about a small person there. So we understood the, all the categories of kisser shel Torah. So what was wrong what did he think at the time? So at the time, apparently, he held that the kisra shel Torah you cannot make use of without a matir. But here you have a matir. Here he's, in other words, he's not using it because he wants to make use of it. He's using it because he has a matir to use it. In other words, he held what Rav Tarfon held at the time that you cannot be mishtamesh b'kisra shel Torah unless you have a matir. But if you have a matir, then there's no issa to be mishtamesh b'kisra shel Torah. As long as the person recognizes that you're not free to be mishtamesh b'kisra shel Torah, that the kesser shel Torah is something which you can't mishtamish with under any circumstances, but unless you have a matir, so he felt that that's the proper kavod for the kesser shel Torah. That you can't be mishtamish with it without a matir. But over here he had a matir because his life was in sakana. So he was being mishtamish with the kesser shel Torah with a matir. So that he felt his mutter. That he felt his lot to do. That was the way he thought at the time. But what did he? How did he think of it later? Later he said, no, that's not enough. How did he think of it later? Later he thought like this. Later he thought it's not a halacha that you can't be mishtamish with a kesser shel Torah unless you have a matir. There is no matir, really. Even with a matir, you can't be mishtamish with a kesser shel Torah. The only matir, the only heter is v'chai bohem. V'chai bohem means because there's no purpose in a person losing his life if the whole purpose of Torah is really, you know, that he has life. So that's pikuach nefesh. That's v'chai bohem. So there really is no matir. Even if a person should look at the kesser shel Torah as something not only not for his own personal satisfaction, not only in terms of a negative benefit to escape a situation, and not only that you can't be mishtamish with it unless you have a matir, you see, that's not enough. But a person has to look at the kesser shel Torah as something which you could never be mishtamish with, period, even with a matir. The only way you could be mishtamish with it is because of v'chaibam, because of Torah itself. Because that's the whole purpose of Torah, is that a person should live and do mitzvahs. So therefore, that's a different kind of a matir. That's not being mishtamish as a matir. That's pikuach nefesh. So that's why the Gemara says, havalei lefaisa b'damim. That Reb Tarfon thought that it's enough if he relates to the kesser shel Torah in a way where you're not mishtamish with it unless there's a matir. So in the final analysis, he said, no, even there is no such thing as a matir. A matir is not enough to be mishtamish with the kesser shel Torah. Even a matir is no good. Even if you mishtamish b'derech matir, that is also pegeya in the kesser shel Torah. But the only way, the only matir is Torah itself. The existence of Torah itself and the perpetuation of Torah itself is the only matir. That's a different kind of a matir. It's not an extraneous matir. That's an intrinsic matir. So that was his final analysis. His final analysis is that you cannot be mishtamesh in the kesser shel Torah even with a matir, even if there's a matir. Extenuating circumstances, he has a matir, so he's not being mishtamesh with the kesser shel Torah per se, and he's not even using it as a negative thing. It's just simply he's using it with a matir. Kamash malon. There's no such thing, because the matir would be save money, whatever. But the point is, the matir, he's saving his life, and he's not mechuyev. He's doing it basically in order to save his life. So that's really why he's doing it. So that would be a matir. So kamash malon, there is no matir benegeh to kesser shel Torah. It's only pikuach nefesh of a chayba, and Torah itself is the only matir. That's a different kind of a matir. That's basically where Ptafen's final evaluation was, that if he saw in his own chait that there was a little reservation over there to be mishtamish with keser, he didn't think it through properly. That he thought that mishtamish with keser shel Torah, as long as you're not mishtamish, unless you have a matir, that's enough. He didn't realize the depth of the kvod shemayim, what keser shel Torah really is. That even in such a situation, it still lacks in kavod Torah. The only mat is pekuach nefesh. That's what he did. Pekuach nefesh, so then he could have spent money. So pekuach nefesh, I mean, you can't be machal Shabbos. I mean, what's pekuach nefesh? If you have to spend money, you have to spend money. So he should have treated it just like a regular case of pekuach nefesh. That was his final analysis, and he thought in himself that since he didn't view it that way, but he had reservations with regard to the Keser Shel Torah, he held that with a matir you could make use of it. So because of that, he said, "Oy lo l'tafan." That means I never really understood what the Keser Shel Torah is, and it's a defect in my own personality, a serious defect in my personality, and because of that, he was mitzvah kol yamav. Okay. All right, we'll stop here.